Today, we have the opportunity to begin a series on the topic of giving. And when we say that word, there are times when people roll their eyes and their hearts go closed. And I believe a lot of that stems from the way that this subject has been approached in the past. And it's been brought to my attention that I have not spoken on this topic very much at all. And I'll only tell you why. I really praise the Lord for how He has worked in your life, and you are a giving church. And I want to affirm that about you. But I know, just like you know, that we're living in a day where we're feeling a squeeze, aren't we? We're feeling a financial pressure and a squeeze upon our lives. As the economy is different, inflation has risen. Things around the world are causing disruption to the supply chains. And so therefore, we're experiencing some challenging times we haven't experienced in the past. The dollar doesn't go as far, does it? You go to the store and prices are much higher. The temptation within us as we think through and realize that we're going through this time is that, well, what do I do about giving? How do I view this part of who I am as a follower of God to give, and yet I'm feeling the squeeze? And so I do believe this is a good time to just remind ourselves of the principles of the Word of God on this subject. Because indeed, we know where to give. We know that that is something that is a part of our DNA as followers of Jesus, or it ought to be. I'm also well aware that there may be people who have never actually addressed this subject in their own life or in their family, or have never heard a message preached on this topic in their life, and they've floundered and wondered, what is this offering box in the back all about? I know I purposely don't talk about money often in our midst. Money can be a troubling topic. It can split churches. But it ought not to be so. And it doesn't need to be that way. Children need to grow up, trained, understand. What do they do with the allowance money they've been given or the money they earn from the little job they had in the neighborhood? And so today we want to look at this, and we'll begin just touching the surface of it today. I want to begin with this statement: giving begins with God. Giving begins with God. One of the ways and you guys know this if you've been around me very much, is one of the ways that I approach topics and truths in the Scripture is that how does God build the case for these things? How does God educate His people on these topics from the beginning down through till here we are today? And one of the ways you can do that is you can look through the Bible consecutively, thinking about what was God's first revelation to man, and continue down through as God builds this understanding of what it means to give. Because in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they were created by God. And there they lived in the garden. What was their understanding of giving? Well, this is something that they had to learn and to be taught and was established in their life. So, let's go to Genesis. Let's talk about this principle, this truth of giving. I want to remind you that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, they're considered the books of the law or the Pentateuch, the law of Moses. These were given to the people of Israel long after these events took place, or most of the events that took place. They were written down by Moses, and we believe they were given to the people of Israel just prior to them crossing over the Jordan and entering into the promised land. So there's a lot of time frame, a lot of time that has passed from creation, Genesis chapter 1, and the people of Israel crossing into the Jordan, or crossing into the promised land. And so just before Moses dies, these books of the law are transferred to this generation of people. And so therefore, they're receiving this, and they have held on to it even to this day. Now, all along, these truths would have been passed around orally. We know that even the Ten Commandments were what? Written down on tablets of stone. So there very well could have been more copies along the way. But it's good to keep in mind that Moses is the one who has written these things down. And of course, Moses was not at the Garden of Eden. So you might think, well, how can Moses write about these things that he was not privy to, that he was not there for? That's a good question. And this just goes to help us understand how the Bible was written. It was not written just by a man coming up with these things. It was written by holy men of God who were carried along by the very Spirit of God. And so Moses wrote the Word of God as God gave it to him. And so therefore, what we have in the Word of God is what God wants for us to have. God wants for us. That's why the Word of God is so valuable. That's why it's so precious. That's why we lock ourselves into it as our guide and as our compass. Genesis chapter 1, verse 15, we read these words. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God, verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Now, why would I read those passages, those verses? What word is there? Give. You might say, Pastor, you're making a big deal out of something small. Now, we're talking about the creation of the world here. And by God's design, this is the way it was written. And we know that God created out of nothing this world. And what is the first thing we're seeing here that the word give is associated with? Give what? Give light. You see, giving begins with God. God is the first giver. Why is that important? Well, that's important because that removes us from that high and mighty standpoint of we know how to give, or we are the standard of giving. No, we're not. We got that from God. God is the one who has been our example, who is teaching us through his precious word about how he is a giver. And so therefore, if God is a giver, so are his people. Because as God gives to his people, so we can therefore give. God gives light. Look at verse 29, same chapter, Genesis 1, 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. What is God giving? God's giving food. All right, here he is speaking directly to his this creation he had made in his image. We didn't read that part, but in verse 27, it says that he made man and female in his image. And then he says what we just read about, how he has given you, man and woman, food. So God recognizes what? The need, the food, the necessity of food in the life of Adam and Eve. And so he says, I'm going to give this to you. And he gives them food. Chapter 3 in verse 21. Let's start at verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. What is God giving them? He's giving them clothing. You know, the backstory of all of this is that something drastic happened between chapter 2 and chapter 3, the verse that we just read. And that is what? The fall of man, sin. Prior to chapter 3, the sin was not in the world. Now, God had already demonstrated he's a giver. And he gave the light, and then after he created man, he gave them food. We could also look at chapter 2 and see how he saw Adam and Eve, saw Adam, and Adam was alone. So what did God do? He put Adam to sleep, and he fashioned the woman, and he sent her to him. Who did God give to Adam? From her side, yes, he gave her as a wife to Adam. God gave. You see, over and over here, God gave, God gave, God gave. Now, what is fascinating is in chapter 3, this is where we see another person giving. In chapter 3, we have the serpent who is more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent comes to the woman and says, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and what? And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now we're seeing a contrast here. God as the giver of light and of food. God is recognizing man's loneliness, and he gives this woman. You could look at the entire creation account as God giving. You can look at God's instructions to man as God giving, right? He gave the instructions to man to take care of the garden, to not eat of this one tree. But you can eat of all the other trees. So you're beginning to see here in the garden, God was known as extremely generous. He gave them food and they could eat of all the trees in the garden except for one. God is the giver. But all it took was this serpent to come and to twist the truth, to just make it a little bit off from center. And so, Eve gave the fruit to Adam, and he ate it. And thus, all mankind was thrown into the curse of sin. Who's the best example for us giving? God is. And I believe this is a great point for us as we contemplate giving in our own lives. Because what we can do is we can look at other people and we can look at how they give and we can read the books and we can all, you know, just talk about it and ask questions. And there's a place for that. But you know, the best example is our God himself. He's the best example of giving, of being a giver. And this is why this principle, I believe, is true. Giving begins with God. And having that as an anchor point in our life on this point and on this subject drives you and me to understand and to look for, how is God a giver? How does God teach giving in his word? How does he demonstrate giving? Much more could be said as we trace giving throughout the book of Genesis. God gives children in chapter 4. God gives a sign of the rainbow in chapter 9. God gives the covenant to Abram, the promise of land and seed and blessing. Genesis chapter 17, God gives a son. In Genesis chapter 39, God gives favor upon Joseph in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Exodus chapter 11, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Exodus 9, God gives judgment. Exodus 16, God gives the day of rest. Exodus 24, God gives the law. Exodus 31, God gives wisdom. Leviticus 17, God gives life in the blood. Numbers 21, God gives victory and deliverance. Numbers 21, God gives water. You can see here how special it is to follow this theme throughout the Bible. What is it that God has given? How has he demonstrated his own generosity to his people? That's a great place for us to begin this conversation, this talk, this. God, help us to have an accurate understanding of giving. Because, Lord, you are a giver. we read from 2 Corinthians earlier in our service, and this is where I would like to close out our time together. Because if giving begins with God, if God was the first one to be a giver, and if God in His Word over and over again speaks about how He has given to His people, then I believe it is important for us to talk about His culminating gift, this greatest gift that He has given. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to look at this in more detail in weeks to come, but I draw your attention to verse 9. Paul writes to this church in Corinth, a church that was wealthy, a church that had money, a church that has said they wanted to give. But here Paul is speaking about another church of Macedonia that has already given. They weren't rich. They didn't have a lot of money. But look at what he says in verse 9. Where does he direct our attention? "For you know," he says, "the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." What do you know, church? Listen, if you're here today and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are a Christian. You're a follower of Jesus. This is what you know: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you know. This is what you know in your life to be true. God has been gracious. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's expression of love and grace to you in your life. Just let that sit on your mind for a moment. Do you know that? Do you know the grace of the Lord Jesus? There may be some in here who don't know that grace. You've not experienced that grace. It's not at the bedrock of your life. My prayer is that you hear this message of God's greatest gift. "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, by the way, what is grace? It is undeserved favor. It's that which you are given that you do not deserve. You know, that word grace is just, it's so intertwined and closely associated with that word give. They go together because grace is a gift. It's not deserved. "So for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," who? The Lord Jesus Christ was rich. Pay attention to the language. I know most people don't like grammar. Maybe we have a few in here that like grammar. But grammar is special. It's a special part of being able to communicate. What do we see here? "Though he was rich." How was the Lord rich? I'm going to remind you of something. When his disciples asked about, did he have a place to stay? He didn't have a place to lay his head. You don't ever read of him having his own dwelling, except for his Father's house, the temple. You don't read about him having a wealthy robes, lots of money, eating big feasts. No, he was a servant, humble. But he was rich. What does it say next? But he was rich, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. That you, through his poverty, through his becoming poor, you might be made rich. Now, there's a lot here. But we need to know this, because this is going to help us to have this right platform from which we give, this right perspective. Because giving begins with God, and God is the ultimate example of giving. And here we have Jesus Christ, God's Son, who left the glories of heaven rich. And he came into our realm. So compared to heaven, we are dirt poor, right? We're dirt poor. So who are the needy ones? We are the needy ones. Are we talking about money here? No, we're not talking about money. We are the needy ones from a spiritual perspective. He is rich. He has it all. But here we are, destitute, lost, poor, in darkness, condemned to death, forever and ever separated from God. Yet for your sakes, he became poor. Paul writes in the book of Philippians, I think, a great picture of this. In Philippians chapter 2, hear the word of the Lord here as Paul writes it down. He says this in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Powerful picture there of Jesus as he left heaven and became to earth and walked among us. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Listen, Christian, remember this. He came for you, that you, who were once poor, might become rich, might have the inheritance of eternal life, might have the opportunity, the hope, the joy of living with the Lord forever and ever, might have the Spirit of God living within you, and his guidance throughout your life. You see, giving begins with God. And as Christians, as the Church of Jesus Christ, your journey of giving ought to begin with how God has given to you. And how generous he is that he gave his own Son. For God so loved the world that he gave. I know that's a verse we hear all the time, and sadly it so often has lost its power and impact. But I trust you hear it today. For God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have ever lasting life. You see, giving does begin with God. He is the greatest example. John writes in his letter in 1 John, "We love him because he first loved us." So here we are today. Money's a topic on our lips or our conversations. You might be thinking about your bank account, your wallet, what the grocery trip, the insurance, whatever it might be. Listen, let's worship God today for how generous he's been to us. He's given his son. He's given us eternal life. We have much to praise him for, don't we? We can shout for true joy, no matter how empty the pockets may be. Our souls and our lives, we are rich. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1, you can read it right there. That's yours. That's mine in Christ. And so don't get caught up on this giving and the doldrums of giving, because it was the joy of the Father, the joy of Christ. He gave. And so we are rich. So God, thank you for this perspective. And I pray that you'd continue to help us even as we go throughout this week ahead. Thanks for showing us what it means to give. Amen.